Ladies and gentlemen, your meeting is about to begin. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Cameron Crotty, Senior Editor in Ziff Davis Custom Solutions Group. Welcome to today's e-seminar, Power Surge, Reducing Data Center Energy Costs. E-seminars are interactive web conferencing sessions for IT professionals. They're intended to give you all the benefits of attending a trade show panel discussion without leaving your own office. If this is your first e-seminar, welcome. If you've been with us before, welcome back. Before we begin, I need to cover some housekeeping items. First, the format of this event is completely interactive, so feel free to send us your questions using the Ask a Question feature located on your console. We'll handle as many of these questions as we can during the live Q&A session at the end of the seminar. Other questions may receive an email response after the event, and we'll try and slip in a few here and there during the actual presentations. Our speakers are industry leaders and experts in their fields. We really encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity for direct access. Second, please use the Download Slides button on your interface to download a PDF copy of today's presentation. A white paper on data center and NOC operations, a white paper on reducing data center energy costs is also available for download. Third, we will be facilitating several polls during today's presentation. To participate in these polls, you must disable your pop-up blockers. When the seminar is completed, please take a couple of minutes and complete a short survey. And with that, we'll get right into today's topic. Information technology leaders are accustomed to being asked to do more with less, but who could have envisioned that that would mean not only less hardware or less staff, but also less electricity? The demand for computing horsepower in most businesses is skyrocketing. If your data center energy costs aren't attracting unwelcome attention during budget meetings, there's a good chance that they will be soon. How can you get ahead of the power curve? And today, to address these issues, we have Richard Greco from Lead AP. He's the Managing Director of the California Data Center Design Group. Kenneth Brill, Founder and Executive Director of the Uptime Institute. Brian Howard, Vice President of Engineering for RS Unix Corporation. And Peter Panfil, Vice President, Power Engineering, Liebert Solutions, Emerson Network Power. We're going to start with Richard, but before we get into Richard's presentation, I want to kick off our very first poll. The question is, it should be coming up on your screen now, what are your plans for analyzing the efficiency of your data center equipment? The responses are, we've already analyzed its efficiency, we're currently analyzing its efficiency, we're planning to do so in the near future. We're not sure, but we may do so, and we don't plan to do so. So take a few minutes to answer that poll, and while you're looking at that, let's get right into our presentations. Richard?
Great. Good afternoon to everybody on the East Coast, and good morning to those people on the West Coast. I'd like to go to my first slide, which is the typical energy use in data centers, and surveys have told us that there's more or less a one-to-one relationship with the power used by the IT equipment and the power used by the infrastructure, the lighting, the transformation of power to different voltages, the UPS systems, the air movement, the cooling. And what I'd like to do is focus on those areas that are the biggest energy users in the typical data centers. Now, clearly for each and every one of you, you can do a survey at your data center to really define in particular these energy use points in your facility. So if you'd go to the next slide, please. So the single biggest user of energy is the IT equipment, and that is followed by the cooling equipment and the air movement equipment is next. And then the electrical transformation in UPS, as was illustrated in the graph. If we could go to the next slide, please. And accordingly, Ziff Davis Media has conducted a survey of 1,200 key players in the data center industry. And more than two-thirds of those surveys identify power and cooling as primary problem issues in their data centers. However, only 62% of the respondents reported that neither IT power consumption or cooling concerns have affected server purchases. And I think this is something that's key. I think there's going to be a new focus on the purchase of IT equipment, because in the past there hasn't been a high regard in data center for electrical use, but that dynamic has changed. Two events, one, the cost of power in the data center, and the advent of the so-called high-density data center really mandates that limiting power use and controlling it in the data center is really a paramount issue. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how it is we can do that. So if we can go to the next slide, please. The most inefficient device in the data center is the IT equipment power supply. Typical power supply efficiencies range between 65 to 85%. And since the IT equipment is the single biggest user of power in the data center, increasing the efficiencies of power supply and specifying equipment that has efficient power supplies is becoming more and more important. The other issue is that CPU usage, in a general sense, has little bearing on the energy use, ranging from a low utilization of the CPU to a high utilization of the CPU. So what the goal here is to maximize the use of CPUs that you have. So the solutions are to specify higher efficiency power supplies on IT equipment. And presently there's a draft protocol that's out for public review to an EPA list of interested parties, and the protocol defines the methodology for measuring the power efficiency of power supplies for servers at different computing loads. This is not a public document yet. However, you still have the ability today to specify, for example, the power supply efficiency of your servers, say, at 100% load. The other thing, which will be talked in more detail by my esteemed colleagues today, is the use of virtualization, which is using software tools to minimize the number of servers by maximizing those server usage. Next slide, please. Now, following in the order of energy usage is the cooling systems. And one way, if you're building a new data center, is to have your engineering consultants design mechanical systems that have lower condensing temperatures and higher evaporating temperatures, which is really a direct reflection on the air or chilled water. You can achieve very great efficiencies by specifying equipment that is really more energy efficient. Another tool is to manage the loads in the data center. What you want to do is maximize the equipment that is online and then turn off equipment that may not be utilized. And so you don't want two or three or four systems that are only 20 or 30 or 40% loaded. You'd like to be able to consolidate those if at all possible. Next slide, please. You also want to optimize the air movement in your data center. And if possible, you may be configured now where you cannot reconfigure your cooling or your IT equipment. But if possible, you want to use a hot, cold aisle configuration. The purpose of this is to not intermingle the hot and cold air and bypass equipment, recirculate the air. And on the slide shows you a stereotypical hot and cold aisle configuration. Next slide, please. And previously, a lot of the placement of perforated tiles in data center was really done on an ad hoc basis. And what I'm recommending here is that you use ASHRAE-recommended measuring points and become a lot more diligent about measuring temperatures at the IT equipment and also measuring the air flows at the IT equipment other than just placing tiles and hoping for the best results. I think my point is that you really need to get a lot more diligent and scientific about measuring temperature and measuring air flows in the data center. Next slide, please. Another large concern is the bypassing of air in the data centers, and you need to you need to be very diligent about managing air through cutouts in the data center. And I'm showing a product that is available that will limit the air through cutouts, and I believe will show details of this in another presentation. Next slide, please. Another tool that's available and becoming widely used is performing a software modeling analysis of airflow in the data center. It's called a computational fluid dynamic model. There are a number of vendors that have this product available on the open market, and it is a very, very good planning and replanning tool for your data center. There has shown to be a very good correlation between actual results of CFD modeling and measured results in the field. This is a very good tool to help you manage. And you want to, again, I'll reiterate, you want to measure temperature and measure airflow at the perforated tiles and at the server inlets to help you manage your airflow. And you also need to remove perforated tiles from the hot aisle if they're present there. And then my last slide, I'm just showing some examples of UPS technologies that are available and showing the efficiencies at different load areas. But again, I'd like to emphasize that the transformation in UPS is a lesser use of energy in the data center than the IT and the cooling equipment. And with that, that concludes my presentation.
Thanks very much, Richard. This is Cameron again. And we actually have a question out from our audience right away here. Scott from Sun Microsystems would like to know if you can name the organization drafting the protocol for measuring power supply efficiency at different computing loads. And that was the EPA?
Well, it's out to the EPA for review. I believe Sun is a participant. I don't actually believe that there is an official name for the group. John Coomey from Stanford and Lawrence Livermore National Labs is heading up that effort.
So if Scott or somebody else wanted to find out more about that, what would you recommend?
Well, if they were to contact me directly, I could put them in contact with the committee.
Okay. Well, and we'll have contact information available at the end of the event.
Cool.
So, thank you, Richard, for your presentation. We do have the results of our first poll in, and it's actually kind of interesting. I'd like to have those pushed out to the audience because it looks like we've got quite a distribution here. The question was, what are your plans for analyzing the efficiency of your data center equipment? Many of you have already analyzed its efficiency, so you're on the game. We have some of you looking at it now, planning to do so in the future, and thinking about it. So it looks like this is a hot topic, if you'll forgive the pun. I'm so sorry about that. So those are the results from our first poll, and I would like to go ahead and move to our second presentation from Kenneth Brill, who's going to be talking about getting more out of what you already own. Kenneth?
Well, thank you very much. I want to just briefly do a brief introduction of the Institute and then the things that we're going to be talking about. The Institute is a member-driven organization composed of 85 corporate members. And within the next slide there, within the Institute, we benchmark things like energy use. And on the energy use, what we find is that for a large data center, it's a very, very big number. Next slide, please. And these are just some of our 85 members. And so a lot of what I'm presenting is more the user perspective of that comes out of benchmarking and out of the best practices that we've developed within our member organization. Next slide. And I'm going to talk about energy efficiency ratio. And this is a flowchart of how energy flows through your data center. And on the right is your computer equipment load. And to your far left at the top starts out with your utility power. Now, the utility power bill for a large data center is in the millions of dollars a year, and the rates are rising. It wasn't so long ago that my members were paying 3 cents a kilowatt hour. Now they're looking at some of them in the Northeast and heavy older areas are looking at 15 cents a kilowatt hour. So one of the things that you want to do if you want to measure your data center energy efficiency ratio is that you measure the power in, which is that little circle at the right, at the left, and you look at what your UPS power out is. And anything that's in red is basically losses. And in Rich Greco's slide earlier, he said that only half of the energy basically gets to the computers, and our measurements indicate it's considerably less than that. Half would be good, but there's a lot more losses than people realize, and unless you make measurements, you really won't know that. And making these measurements is not particularly, it's conceptually easy, but very few people do them. So the energy efficiency ratio is a very important factor. It's going to vary based on where you are in the country. It's going to vary during the day. It's going to vary during the seasons of the year. Many data centers have what are called plate and frame heat exchangers. But because of the way those plate and frame heat exchangers are piped, they're never used, or they're used one time, and it's such a scary event that the facilities people turn it off. basically what the plate and frame heat exchanger does is it uses outside cold air. You can do this in the Northeast for a good bit of the winter. But as I say, because it's badly piped, it's such a scary thing going on to and off of that they're never used. The only way that you'll see that these aren't being used, and there's a whole variety of other things. How the plant is operated, there's one issue that, let me back up. When you buy your equipment originally, you can buy the most energy efficient equipment that you can think of. But particularly how the cooling is operated by the facility staff and also by the IT staff, which I'm going to explain in just a minute, there can be tremendous waste. And so what we see, particularly in the early stages of a data center, the EER is 3 or higher. Theoretically, it could be as low as 1.6. We've never seen that. People that are at 2 would be certainly in the minor minority, and yet that's where everybody should be. So let's look at some of the things that can cause for waste in the cooling systems. Next slide, please. And it's bypass airflow. Richard has already talked about it. And bypass airflow is conditioned cold air that's not getting the intakes of the computer equipment. It's escaping through cable cutouts and holes under the cabinets, escaping through misplaced perforated tiles. On average, we find that a third of the tiles, the perforated tiles in a raised floor data center, are in the hot aisle, which is the wrong place. So you ask the question, why are they in the hot aisle? And the response is, well, that's where it's hot. Well, actually, the hot aisle is supposed to be hot, and the cold aisle is supposed to be cold. And then there are also holes in the walls. This is another, you know, when you can't make the numbers come back to zero, the air going in and the air coming back, what you find is you then have holes in the walls. Next slide. So what we see then is that 60% of the available cold air is short cycling back to the cooling units through perforated tiles in the hot aisles and unsealed cable openings. What this is meaning is that people are using far more cooling than they really need. They're using up capacity, and this is bad from an operating standpoint, and it's using capacity that's unnecessary. This is based on measurements in 19 computer rooms and 2,004,000 square feet. So we believe this study is highly valuable. And what we found is despite having 2.6 times more cooling running than was required by the heat load, people still had 10% of the racks were too hot. Next slide, please. So let's look at where this can go wrong. In this picture, the unsealed openings, and look at this as to whether or not this could be in your computer room. The unsealed openings in the back of these racks is wasting cooling. And you can actually see some perforated tiles up in the top part of the picture. Next slide, please. Here's just plain old hole in the bottom of a rack. That opening is wasting 2/17 of a cooling unit's capacity. Next slide, please. When the next slide comes up, it's going to show that 4/17 of a cooling unit is being wasted in this one picture. So if you had 4 of these kinds of openings in sequence, and how many of you have these in your data centers? 4 openings of this magnitude, you wasted one entire cooling unit in terms of the cooling capacity delivered. Next slide. So what do you do to fix it? You seal the openings, and which Greco already said that. There's a product called ColdBlock that is one of the ways to do this. You seal the holes in the perimeter of the room, seal the openings in the raised floor, and install blanking plates in the equipment itself. And this is an important point. Next slide. The air recirculation within racks can result in hot air recirculating back to the front. So it's not just getting air into the computer that's important, but it's preventing hot air from coming back around and across the cabinet. So and this becomes critically important when you go above, say, 2 kilowatts in a rack. of installing these blanking plates. If you walk down a row of equipment, you should not be able to see through the racks to the back. You should have these blanking plates installed. Next slide, please. Some of the things that, so these are some of the lessons that, that will improve your energy efficiency ratio. In our high-density computing symposium, some of the things that we learned is that between 10 and 30% of the computers in the computer room, servers in the computer room can just be turned off. In other words, they're running, but they're not needed. You learn this when you do migration planning and you have to move stuff. And on average, between 10 and 30% of the stuff doesn't need to be moved. Well, why not turn it off today? And, of course, the other people are going to be talking about some of these other things that can be done later on in the program, so I'm not going to go over them. Next slide, please. So some learning opportunities that you can take advantage of if you want to use some of the ideas I've talked about. We run seminars. Next one coming up is on cooling high-density equipment in Santa Fe. And then next spring, we have our invisible crisis in the data center, the economic meltdown of Moore's Law. Two important opportunities. Next slide, please. And there's a number of best practices that you can learn. We've issued a number of major white papers this year. One is on heat density trends, classifications, and these are all available for free on our website at www.uptimeinstitute.org. Next slide, please. And then these are some additional ones that we're in the process of writing. One that would be really important to many people who are looking at water cooling is the last one, a checklist for things that you need to consider before you go to a water-cooled solution. And with that, I throw it back to you, Cameron.
Ken, thanks very much. You know, just quickly, one of the things that you mentioned during your presentation was where you walk by the rack and you don't want to be able to sort of see through the racks of servers. Are there other kind of rules of thumb that you can think of? Just sort of quick things you might see in your data center that might point you in the right direction.
Well, that one's a good one. The other one is that the cold aisle should be cold. It should be uncomfortably cold. And then the hot aisle should be hot. And if you see perforated tiles in the hot aisle, they don't belong there. Now, you shouldn't just arbitrarily move them. That goes back to the CFD study that Richard was talking about. Moving things around in a hot data center, installing more cooling doesn't necessarily produce more cooling. And moving perforated tiles around can actually make things worse. It needs to be part of a highly engineered solution.
Thinking about what you're doing, in other words.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your presentation. Before we move on, I'd like to get another poll out there. And this is, the question is, where do you see your greatest data center efficiency? The first response is in cooling. Where do you see your greatest data center efficiency opportunity? The first response is cooling equipment. The second is servers, including embedded power supplies. The third, power equipment, like UPS or PDUs. Next is storage, overall power architecture, DC versus AC, for instance. And the final response is communications. While you're choosing your answers for that poll question, I'd also like to encourage you to submit questions for our panelists. Remember, these guys are experts. It's not often you get folks with this kind of knowledge base together, and they're ready to answer anything, pretty much anything you might ask. So get those questions in. Our third presenter is Brian Howard. He's Vice President of Engineering with RX Unix Corporation, and he's going to talk about reducing data center energy costs.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We'll start out with the agenda slide here. I guess when the topic was raised, you know, my first question was, what are we doing with a hardware reseller here on this agenda? And especially after listening to some of the slides, that quite frankly brought back some fond memories of running around data centers, pulling tiles and chasing, looking for the right cutouts. At any rate, you know, as Richard pointed out, hardware's the biggest culprit in terms of of using using power. So I think that's one of the reasons why we need to focus on that, and one of the reasons why we need a need to have somebody looking at the hardware. And I come from the perspective that we need to take a step back at that power life cycle, if you will, and say, well, who's using all the power? So we just established that the IT equipment is using at least half of it. So if we take a look backward at where the hardware's coming from, we go back to the manufacturers, you know, IBM, HP, Intel, AMD, et cetera. And they're all working very hard at producing and providing ways that we can manage the power and the cooling. And I believe that we as a user community need to keep pressuring them in that direction. You know, I'm sure they'll do their part as long as we keep the focus on them. And I guess from my standpoint, the value-added reseller community, as well as your, in some cases, the direct sales entities, can help that equation by leading the charge, you know, representing the clients around, you know, applying that pressure. You know, hey, we need to continue getting, you know, costs down on server and storage, and there's a number of ways to do it. So what I'm going to touch on, and I'm going to touch on three major areas, and these are all relatively related: server consolidation, server virtualization, and then technology refresh. I've got a limited time with you today, so I'm not going to go into depth on any one of these, but we'll try to give you an overview of each. And then again, I'd hardly recommend that either you go out and do some research or have your teams do some research and then go back to your vendors and resellers and other business partners and work closely with them. There's obviously a number of services firms and vendors who are only too happy to help you. And I think a lot of these questions are reasonably complex, such that I think it's well worth, you know, getting some input. Especially as we're seeing studies come out that are suggesting that over the next few years, we're going to see more than half the cost of running a server is actually not that server itself. It's actually the power. And so we'll go to the next slide, please. So again, why am I here? You know, what's really causing the problem? It's the price. Price of power keeps going up, as well as the requirements for power. You know, and the requirements for power are coming from A, old hardware, and then be running around buying a lot more hardware. And by the way, thank you very much. Our CFO thanks you for that, as well as all the other resellers. No, but at the end of the day, we're increasing our bill. And I've seen reports that suggest that for every watt that a server uses, there's another 1 to 1.5 used by the air conditioning equipment, the power equipment, et cetera. So there's really a relationship that we have to look at in terms of who all is involved. And I guess one of my big, and I'm sorry, Cameron, I'm going to use the word hot here again, bad pun. Hot button.
It's an easy one.
This is sort of falls into the vocabulary, is communication. And this really has to be a joint effort. So I'm focusing on what I can do around the servers and the storage, but we have to really work closely with those other folks that are involved in the data center. So, you know, keeping closely in touch with the facilities folks, you know, that was always something that it's another fond memory is going out drifting with the facilities guys. At any rate, I really need to keep in touch with facilities folks and make sure that they're part of that team as you go through your planning. So they need to be part of that stakeholder group. You know, if we go back and look at some of the reports from some of the other services organization, they're saying that you know, typically you can reduce TCO significantly, 20 to 60%, off of some servers, but time frames can take a while depending upon how complex it is. So again, where can I help? I can work to reduce the demand, and I can better manage the demand, and that's what we're gonna try and dig into a little bit. So next slide, please. Asset optimization. So what is this really? It's saying, how can I more efficiently use what I already have? So that gets back to that old hardware stuff sitting on the floor. How can I more efficiently use it? Do I really need everything I've got? You know, we heard the earlier comment about power supplies. It's, you know, they're a drain. You know, so are they being efficiently used? Can I combine applications or data under fewer boxes? There's my consolidation and potentially virtualization, just getting into fewer footprints. So, you know, how do we reduce our utility bill? That's really what the driver is. You know, and then these new consolidated racks with all the blades, they're amazingly hot, if any of you have stood next to them lately. Next slide, please. I know that, you know, there's planning. It is sort of an ugly word. It's probably one of my favorites, but that's because I get to charge for it. But planning is one of those things that a lot of people don't invest enough time in. And this is really another area where it's critical. I know data collection is obviously very important, and then it's going to be a significant time drain as you go into something like this. But that's the second step. You really need to take a close look and really, really clearly understand what you want to do. You know, why are we doing this, and what's success going to look like? You know, and that really has to be the first thing you do. Determine what the success criteria, figure out what your target is going to be, and then go out and do the data collection. And again, take advantage of some of the experts. You know, it's well worth investing some time and money with some expertise just to make sure that you're progressing reasonably. Next slide, please. So the first one out, what's consolidation? You know, and again, we'll see lots of people that overlap a number of these things that I'm going to touch on. Consolidation. Consolidation is generally combining applications or data, because there's storage consolidation as well as application consolidation as well as just, you know, server consolidation. So there's some different views here. You know, but it's basically it's combining things. You know, how do we get the fewer of something? Again, and I will touch on this next point more than once, this is not just a technical question. You really need to involve additional stakeholders as you enter into any kind of consolidation effort. You've got business group implications, geographical implications, time zones, customer impacts, organizational impact, lots of non-technical implications that you have to take into consideration. So once again, in that planning step, think clearly and carefully about the list of stakeholders. Next slide, please. So major consolidation strategies. This is not an exhaustive list. These are certainly the major ones that come to mind. Centralizing. So cutting down the number of data centers you have. Just trying to go shrink the footprint. The physical consolidation is again, just going from a larger number of servers down to a smaller number of servers, and there's a number of ways to do that, and we'll touch on some of that. The application consolidation, that again is historically folks have not in the mainframe environment, but definitely in the Unix and Windows environments, we've gone one server, one app, and we need to start moving away from that. Next slide, please. So benefits of consolidation, and I'm just going to rattle through these. I think a lot of them are self-evident, and there's quite frankly, again, there's more that aren't on the slide. You know, it's cost reduction. You know, it's an opportunity to work towards standardization, and standardization brings its own opportunities for savings. You know, you're making more efficient use of the hardware again, the optimized utilization. It enables you to centralize support. You know, it's working towards eliminating or reducing some of the server sprawl, the number of data centers, the number of physical servers, the number of images, all of these things. As you look at reducing them, and of course reducing facilities costs falls out of a lot of this, there's the potential for reducing, you know, labor costs. There's a variety of things that come out of consolidation. And as you standardize and get more control over what you've got, you're enabling the management of that utility cost. I think another one of those things that people don't really think of sometimes is that DRBCP, the disaster recovery or the business continuity benefits of consolidation. Next slide, please. So what's virtualization then? Virtualization is, again, a form of combination, but it's taken a little bit differently in the sense that it's not just the physical. It's providing you the ability to combine operating system images or store data stores under a reduced number of platforms. It's sort of isolating the physical and then enabling you to create more copies, if you will, of something without necessarily having the physical or hardware. Now, one thing to keep in mind is a little footnote on that slide is that unless you pursue standardization at the same time as you're working with virtualization, you actually could end up making your life a lot more difficult. So these things really, really play together. Next slide, please. So what are the types of virtualization? I've got a couple here that are probably going to be somewhat new and some that may not even get very popular, quite frankly. The paravirtual one is one that, while it, conceptually it's been out there for quite a while, you don't see a whole lot of it, and I'm not sure that I think it's going to be growing a lot. Because with the one in the middle, we'll dispatch that one quickly. That looks at actually modifying the individual guest operating systems that you've got combined. So with virtualization, you're once again, you're sort of creating a layer between the physical and then what you're installing. Paravirtual requires customization of the operating system, and a lot of that is actually, a lot of the code that supports that is actually moving into some of the hardware. So you'll see Intel and AMD providing some advances to their actual hardware that will enable some of this, which probably in the long run does away with some of the need for that. I think the one that's most common is the virtual machine. There's a number of vendors out there that offer some of these. I'm not going to go into a list, but if there's questions, we can come back and provide some of the vendor names. But the virtualization at the OS level, that's where, you know, each host is running sort of a single operating system at the core, and then it distributes some of the functionality to each of the various guest operating systems, if you will. So there's some sharing that goes on there. Anyway, that's next slide, please. So what are the benefits? Obviously, in the last slide, I could have talked for quite a while, but it's probably not critical right now. So the benefits, again, it's enabling you to reduce some of your hardware maintenance costs. You're going to fewer physical. There's also some advantages in terms of it helps you rehosting, moving to newer platforms. It's an enabler for creating resource pools. So it helps you with any technology adoption or introduction of new technology. It gives you some more flexibility for shifting on an ongoing basis so that as you continue down the road with introducing technology, virtualization and the use of virtualization to create these operating system guests makes all that a little bit easier. And again, it's a tool that you can use as you try to support standardization. Next slide, please. So technology refresh. Well, this is probably me sneaking in a sales pitch. I guess as a reseller, I have to do that somewhere along the line. So I touched earlier around all the hardware vendors who are, you know, working to try and reduce some of the power requirements. And obviously, that requires introducing new hardware. And one of the major power drains with the data center hardware is the older gear. You know, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing some of the vendors also come out with management tools. So not only do you have newer hardware that uses less power, but they're also giving you some vehicles for manipulating that. And I've got two of the examples, IBM as Power Executive and HP as Power Regulator. And that actually, in addition to what they're implementing at the hardware level where you'll get some adjustment in the power usage based on loads, here they're giving you some ability to actually make some of those changes and control some of that at the user level, if you will. Next slide, please. So again, the benefits, you know, some of which we've touched on, you know, with newer gear and more efficient gear, as well as fewer boxes, you know, we're able to reduce maintenance costs. You know, and additionally, as many of you realize, the longer you keep a box and the older it gets, the maintenance costs tend to go up. So we're avoiding the rising cost of maintenance on aging hardware. And in addition, you know, we're able to rehost on newer platforms where there's newer functionality out there, faster processors. You know, again, if they add virtualization technology into the hardware, then, you know, again, there's functionality that they've added. And then we're just quite frankly using our space better, less floor space used. Next slide, please. So in closing it, what do you do next? What do you do now? You know, I'd say for the average customer, and an average customer, I mean, you know, folks that either aren't seeing the need to have highly complex staff, IT staff in-house. Now contact your IT partners. You know, see if they have a practice that specializes in consolidation and or virtualization. Or, okay, one more plug or call us. But, you know, contact your IT partners and see if they have the expertise to help. Because any effort like this, I'll again mention that planning phase is just so critical. So critical. Get all the stakeholders involved early on. All the people from the business units, from the application side, from the facility side, it'll pay a host of dividends. If you get everybody involved early on and do that right planning and do the right communication, all this stuff will work far more smoothly. And then just review the standard methodologies. You know, they're all reasonably similar, but there are some differences from vendor to vendor. See what fits your culture. See what fits your mindset. And again, it's sort of unfortunate, but politics and organizational issues will rear their heads in any effort like this. So and they can easily derail and damage solid business cases. So get those stakeholders involved and pay attention to planning. And again, thank you very much. That's all I've got.
Thanks, Brian. So we are most of the way through our event. We have one more presentation coming up, but before we get to Peter Panfil, we have one more poll that we want to get out there, and so you should be seeing that on your screen in just a second. The poll question is, through what year do you anticipate your current data center's capacity to be sufficient? And the responses are 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, or 2011 or beyond. And we do have the results from the second poll back, but I want to hold those until the end because they kind of tie in with some questions that we're seeing from the audience. I think it's going to be kind of interesting. And I'll take that opportunity again to encourage you to get your questions in for our panelists. And with that, let's move into our final presentation of the day from Peter Panfil. And Peter is with Liebert Solutions, Emerson Network Power. Peter?
Thanks for spending your time with us today. Next slide. The cooling and power offer data center savings opportunities. For every watt of power that's used by your IT equipment in your data centers today, another watt or more is used to remove that waste heat, and we call that a burden factor. That ranges anywhere from just under 2 to 2.5 times more power. As you've seen earlier, cooling and power account for nearly half of the data center power demands. Next slide. And energy efficiency is becoming a priority. A recently completed data center users group survey indicates that about 42% of those respondents have either analyzed efficiency or are currently analyzing efficiency. I think it's interesting that earlier you saw an Instapoll question results. Those numbers were about the same. The respondents perceive the greatest opportunities to be in their cooling equipment, their servers included the embedded power supplies, and their power equipment. Next slide. You heard earlier that server and application consolidation and virtualization can push your utilization up. You should also create a strategy for enhancing the power tech utilization in your IT equipment. Here are some curves of IT power supplies. You can see the average red line running through the curve is in the low 70 percentile in the range where most of the servers are being used, in that 30 to 50% range. The average embedded power supply efficiency is expected to go up by about 10% by 2010. There are top-end power supply efficiencies over 90% that you can take advantage of today. Next slide. You also want to optimize the airflow within the room. You saw earlier hot aisle, cold aisle is the best mechanism to do that. You really want to focus on minimizing the warmer return air from mixing with the cooler source air and keeping the cooler air from bypassing from the cold aisle to the hot aisle and being wasted. Next slide. You also want to optimize the airflow within the rack. That photo in the center with that gaggle of cables, you can see that, and that might be my data center, by the way. I know some of you are probably chuckling and thinking that we snuck into your data centers to take the photo. But you can see that cable management becomes important when you're talking about optimizing airflow within the rack. An expansion channel gives you an opportunity to manage those cables. It gives you space for the cabling and extended depth of the equipment. It also allows you to take advantage of managed power strips to bring the power distribution closer to the point of consumption. Next slide. You want to optimize your base level cooling. That base level cooling provides not only temperature control, but also humidity control and complete filtration of the room air. Digital scroll compressor, which is in essence a variable speed compressor, provides a continuous modulation that improves your energy efficiency and a life of the compressor as well. There's also a teamwork control mode that you can take advantage of. The graph here at the bottom indicates that we've got a room that has some unbalanced loading, relatively high temperatures being generated in one area where the other area of the room has no or light load. And what that teamwork mode does is it disables, for example, heaters in the cold zone when compressors are on in that warm zone. It also keeps the modules from humidifying on one side of the room and dehumidifying on the other side of the room. Next slide. You want to bring your cooling closer to the sources of consumption. That can be done using supplemental cooling. Supplemental cooling for the high-density data centers requires cooling coils close to the heat source. Those can either be overhead of the rack or behind them or next to them in the case you don't have overhead space. They can be in the rack, either at the bottom of the rack or next to the rack, or can be part of the server integrated in. These supplemental cooling mechanisms require a fluid to be delivered to the cooling coils and the heat to be extracted out of the data center. You can use either chilled water or refrigerant that's pumped at a low pressure. The refrigerant gives you an efficiency advantage over chilled water of between 15 and 100% and is non-conductive, so it would be the preferred mechanism for supplemental cooling. Next slide. Supplemental cooling delivers energy savings. Here you can see a comparison of a traditional chilled water precision air conditioner running at 100% capacity and the equivalent for a supplemental cooling unit running at 100% capacity. You can see it's about 27% lower in its annual power consumption. The savings are even greater at partial load capacities. Next slide. Bring your distribution closer to the sources of consumption as well. Here you can see a dual bus architecture, tier 4 UPS system delivered to a distribution unit in the center of the row of racks. That distribution unit then delivers circuits to the row of racks that are immediately adjacent to it. This brings your tier distribution closer to the rack where it's being used. It allows you to make those changes quickly. We know that your data centers are changing constantly, virtually every day. You can segment either bottom or top input and output. I've talked to a few folks in the data center world, and some of them are going to segregation of power distribution into the bottom of their racks and application distribution through the tops of the racks and vice versa. This also gives you an opportunity to adapt the configuration for higher density distribution requirements. Next slide. You want to size the power system for its optimum efficiency. Here's a comparison of a 100 kVA unit versus 10 kVA units. You can see here that the fewer larger modules have an efficiency advantage over more smaller modules. They also have a cost and availability advantage in that a part that isn't there just can't break. So take advantage of economy of scale, both for the module rating as well as the efficiency rating of the larger modules. Next slide. You also want to investigate opportunities for peak shaving. This is a graph that would indicate that the gensets being applied to the data center. A financial house reported that they trimmed their energy costs by using peak shaving. They negotiated lower costs with the utility by agreeing to go off-grid, generate their own power during those peak demand times. That really helped push their overall energy bill down. Next slide. There's some additional actions to take. You can use fluid-based economizers for free cooling in areas of the country that go through the change of seasons that you can take advantage of it. You heard earlier about ensuring that your room is properly sealed. You also want to determine what cooling is actually needed by the equipment. In that, I mean, some units are required either by agency or by application to run on convection cooling or with little or no forced air cooling. They don't need that forced air, so don't waste it on them. You want to consider alternate distribution methods, 400 or 480 volt AC directly into rack, and I think you're thinking to yourself, well, holy cow, I don't have 480 volt servers, but servers that in the 50 hertz world have been running at 240 volts AC, which is the line to neutral voltage of 400, and require lower current distribution. So they've been running that way for quite some time. There's also opportunities for improvement by taking AC to 48 volts DC either within the rack or within a local distribution of racks. You want to be proactive with your preventive maintenance, making sure your refrigerant is charged and the pressures are set. Make sure the fan motor or drive belts are checked and they've got the right tension. Slipping belts waste energy. Make sure that your precision air conditioner filters and UPS filters are changed regularly. Make sure that the compressor and evaporator coils are clean. Also, look into applying some building automation techniques such as damper controls to automatically manage airflow. We'd also like to have you take a look at considering non-traditional Tier 4 power architectures. For example, a multi-delivery catcher system will allow systems to be employed at a higher utilization rate than you might use with a traditional dual bus architecture. In this configuration, two per unit of modules powers three per unit of load, and the load staggered in a staggered distribution configuration. Next slide. Our recommended next steps, you've heard it repeatedly today, that is to prioritize your efficiency improvement efforts. You know, start with your processors and applications, move to power supplies, then cooling and UPS and distribution. You know, a 10% reduction in your IT utilization is greater than a 10% reduction in your cooling utilization. That's greater than a 10% of your power utilization. You want to optimize the precision air and UPS module size. Pick the biggest practical building block. Take advantage of those economies of scale, both on the module side as well as the high heat density data center side. And consider those multi-bus designs that give you better utilization. Also, understand the sources of consumption. And I say that by saying question the equipment rate derating. Make an extra effort to accurately know your IT loads. Measure your actual losses, and make sure that you know what you have to deliver in terms of cooling for those applications. The other thing is that manufacturers have already derated for safety margins, so don't over-derate. Use the equipment close to its full rating as is practical. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. This is Cameron again, and we are right up against the end of our seminar here, and I'm afraid that we are not going to have any time for questions. However, we will attempt to get answers out to those of you who asked them via email, and I apologize for that. Just sometimes these things go long. So that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank you all for joining us, and I'd especially like to thank our speakers, Richard, Ken, Brian, and Peter, for being here today and providing such insightful information. And I'd also especially like to thank our sponsor, Emerson Network Power. I hope that you found today's presentation worthwhile, and we hope the information will aid you in your decision-making process. Before you sign off, be sure to take our optional surveys so that we can continue to provide you with the highest quality online seminars. If you'd like to refer back to today's presentation, there will be a recorded version available shortly. You can get that by going to www.eseminarslive.com, and it'll be up there for 6 months. We also do have some white papers available for download, and you can also get to those through the eSeminars Live site. The audio portion of today's eSeminar will now come to an end. We'll be redirecting you to a live web page where you can view a calendar of upcoming events. Please remember to use the Download Slides button on that page to get a PDF copy of the presentation you just attended. I'm Cameron Crotty, and thank you for joining us today. Have a great afternoon.